27. Arise. Below the hollow mountain, the wind shifts. Corswain gazes at the silver mask.
Do not ask, says Cypher. Do not question it, Your Grace. I have been with you all along. I stand with you now. That is all you need to know.
His words echo in the ether, carried and amplified by profound psionic force. The choking clouds of flies billow back.
Sons of the First, your duty to your seneschal, please,
Cypher declares, his voice piercing every mind on the hill slope and cliffs.
He gave you an order. Kill them.
Immediately, he is at the edge of the black rock, over which the pullulating droves of the Death Guard are still spilling. He begins to mete out death to all unwise enough to come across the lip at him. His sword splits open black armor like blisters. His plasma gun torches men whole and sends their molten bodies hurtling down the cliff in pyretic streaks. Dark angels rush to his side like lions out of slumber. The spirit that was lacking surges back. Faith finds its steel. It is the work of the Librarius, a supreme effort of will, and one, no doubt, they have been striving to achieve since the Death Guard magics settled upon them all and the battle first began. Corswain knows it is their doing, though it marvels him to the core all the same. The revelation of Cypher is miraculous, but it alone could not have overturned his vanguard's despondency so quickly. Carthaeus and his brothers are working in concert somewhere, magnifying the effect, echoing the image of Cypher into every mind. It is bravado, the theatre of war, but it has a dazzling effect. As he runs to Cypher's side, sword raised, Corswain knows he will not question it, not now, not ever. The symbolic office of Lord Cypher is a curious and ancient part of the Legion's hierarchy. A warrior, assigned by the Lion, masked and always anonymous, charged with the custody of the secrets and traditions. In such wise, he is a tradition of secrets himself. Where he chooses to reveal himself and which battles to fight are always subject to his own decision, except that he always stands true in the darkest hours, for there is no greater tradition or discipline within the Legion Order than the pursuit of perilous victory. And this fly-blown hell is a dark hour indeed. Corswain had no notion that Lord Cypher was hidden in his ranks. He thought him far away, perhaps abiding within the echelons of his father. He thought the power of Cypher's presence a blessing he could never wish for. But here he stands, like some divine sign from the Emperor. It seems impossible, but Corswain will not question it. That itself is contrary to tradition. His descent to the furnaces of terror have shown him the impossible too many times. This day alone, endless in scope, has been filled with demons and phantasms, with vile impossibilities made flesh. It seems just and right that one impossibility should manifest in their favour. A sign, perhaps, a portent that the Lion yet lives, or that the Emperor has noticed their minor efforts in the general tumult of the stricken world. Do not question it. Rejoice! Rejoice and fight! To have Cypher make his stand with you is the greatest accolade of the Legion. It lauds you and marks you and your battle out as the most vital and deserving. It is a living symbol that means the spirit of the First Legion is focused upon you. And the spirit is here, without doubt. As the swarms of flies flurry back, so too the clouds of doubt and hopelessness. The malediction of typhus, the warp conjured ailment cast upon them all to wither and kill them as surely as any Death Guard steel, burns off them like morning fog in hard sunlight. Their minds are clear, their hearts, their souls. It does not mean victory. The fight is still insurmountable, the miserable odds beyond calculation, but if they fail, if they fall upon the black cliffs of this mountain, they will die as dark angels, not as broken men. And in their dying, they will give bloody account of themselves. If victory belongs to the polluted filth of Typhus's host, then it will be bought only by the most hellish price. Corswain, hound of Caliban, lays in beside Lord Cypher, beside Tragen, beside Verlois, beside Bructus, who is missing an arm but warring anyway, beside Harlock and Blamiers and Vanital, beside Eloriel and Carloy and the gun shields of the Third Order, beside men who had utterly lost their way mere minutes before. Now they fight again, butchering to clear the cliff. Splinters fly and blood gouts, with such force it rains back upon them. Corswain is plastered in gore and mire and frass, flies stuck to him like black gems. He splits corsoid beak visors and opens armour with such force the ceramite is pleached around the gaping wounds as the bodies tumble away. He hears the shrieking zinzulation of chain blades from every side. Then that too is muffled by a wail of tempest air. Flashes bloom along the run of the Black Pass, explosion followed by explosion, racking the foe far below and hurling bodies into the air like dolls. The fire blossoms are vast, bleached white in the mock-shade monochrome of the blighted air. Craft shriek low overhead, sweeping from the mountain and down the length of the pass, stormbirds and thunderhawks raining munitions on the Death Guard mass. They are Dark Angel ships, the very craft that brought them to terror, charged with the last of the fuel and warheads and sent aloft by Adafel. Corswain watches them turn and bank along the narrow ravine. He watches the rolling, fiery wake of their lethiferous bombardment, sending clonic shockwaves through the tight-packed foe below. He lifts his sword in the half-light with a fury he thought had left him forever. Words come to him from somewhere.
"Awake! Arise, or be forever fallen!"
he yells, and the Librarius carries his command to every soul on the field as both a threat and an unwavering promise.